The lyrics of what you wrote. You mentioned that, you know, here in the United States, yes, we can get upset about the economic decisions that our government's making, as long as it has little to no effect on the status quo. What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, I think it's a very cunning process, I think, and I don't use the word cunning to be overdramatic, because I don't think it's people are sitting in a back room rubbing their hands together, with a formal conspiracy. It's just sort of the organic nature about how large organizations, institutions come together and work in their own interest. But I think, you know, since the 1960s, when there were authentic social movements that actually changed things, what we might informally call the powers that be have established methods now of narrowing the context of what the debate is by marginalizing certain opinions, and one of those being the opinions about corporatism. Example, look how the teabag rallies got mass coverage, especially by Fox News and other conservative organizations. But look at, you know, for example, I was on the streets here in New York in 2003 for the anti-war demonstrations, which globally were the largest demonstrations in the history of the planet. And the New York Times barely mentioned it. The networks barely mentioned it. We were shut down. You know, I was trying to get to First Avenue with my wife. Police barricades were put up. We never were able to get there, actually. So there's sort of an informal way that through exclusion and through harassment, unpopular opinions don't make it, except maybe on the pixelated fiefdoms of the internet.
WCOM Radio, WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. I'm Furious George. We do this every Thursday. And if you're just tuning in and you've been checking out some local broadcasts from a local festival, or if you're there in the deep recesses of the pixelated corners of the internet, wherever you may find us, right now we're furious. We do micro-powered stuff with themes including protesters losing free speech, etc., in celebration of free speech. And other things that are happening right about now. So, stick around. We've got a whole more hour of furiousness. There in the background, some new stuff from Flying Lotus. There's something from Low End Theory. I'll be back.
demonstrations in the history of the planet, and the New York Times barely mentioned it, the networks barely mentioned it. We were shut down. You know, I was trying to get to First Avenue with my wife. Police barricades were put up. We never were able to get there, actually. So there's sort of an informal way that through exclusion and through harassment, unpopular opinions don't make it, except maybe on the pixelated fiefdoms of the internet.
And how is that? I mean, I want to talk a bit about intimidation from law enforcement agencies that we actually.
We'll be right back. people were arrested outside the White House Monday in a protest calling for the abolition of mountaintop removal coal mining. The rally was part of Appalachia Rising, a multi-day event organized by residents of Appalachian communities impacted by mountaintop removal. The protesters were detained after refusing to leave the sidewalk outside the White House fence. The NASA climatologist James Hansen was among those arrested. In another major action, a group calling itself Black Cross Alliance erected black crosses at coal mining sites in southern Illinois. The group says the crosses symbolize the sacrificing of entire communities for the sake of mining coal. The actions come as the Environmental Protection Agency is set to decide on whether to cancel a controversial mining project in West Virginia. If approved, the Spruce No. 1 mine would be one of the biggest mining projects in all the Appalachian states, impacting more than 2,200 acres of forest and 7 miles of streams. Well, Jeff Biggers is a journalist and cultural historian who's extensively covered mining in the Appalachian region.
Organizations, institutions come together and work in their own interests. But I think, you know, since the 1960s, when there were authentic social movements, it actually changed things. What we might informally call the powers that be have established methods now of narrowing the context of what the debate is by marginalizing certain opinions, and one of those being the opinions about corporatism. Teabag rallies got mass coverage, especially by Fox News and other conservative organizations. But look at, you know, for example, I was on the streets here in New York in 2003 for the anti-war demonstrations, which globally were the largest demonstrations in the history of the planet. And the New York Times barely mentioned it.
Who are
the network
to
barely mentioned it. We were shut down. You know,
I think across the nation, the coal fields really are having a watershed event for the progressive community, Amy. Appalachian Rising made a very compelling point that mountaintop removal only provides 8% of our national coal production. And so they're really taking the struggle now to Washington and asking President Obama to say, if you can't even stand up to big coal and follow your rule of science, you know, the EPA has told us that, in fact, mountaintop removal creates irreversible damage to our headwater streams, that if you can't even stand up to big coal and stop one of the most egregious human rights and environmental violations, how can we even begin to discuss comprehensive energy and environmental and health care legislation? So I think Appalachian Rising, like so many coalfield communities from Alaska to Alabama to southern Illinois, are really leading the way for the progressive community now to
I'm from Maryland, actually, and I'm here because mountaintop removal is poisoning the waterways and polluting the airways for people in Appalachia, and I want to stand in solidarity with these folks to get clean water and a respectful way of life back to these people in these mountains.
We'll be right back. giant forest of mushrooms, a line of huge cliffs, and strange clouds hung overhead as he lay on a deeply indented shore of golden sand, strewn with shells.
Why were these mass protests across the country scheduled for yesterday?
It had been actually in the works for months. Of course, I think something very important for Appalachia is this was the anniversary of the March on Kings Mountain, which goes all the way back to the American Revolution, when we were at the verge of losing the American Revolution, and it was mountain people who once again had been threatened with the destruction of their mountains by the British forces, and the mountain people came down and turned the tide of the American Revolution. Once again, it's Appalachian people. It's people who are living on the front lines of the extraction industry, anywhere from natural gas drilling to the oil drilling, to the coal fields, who actually are saying, hey, we have to move forward and really take this battle to Washington to go forward.
In 30 seconds, Jeff, what is wrong with mountaintop removal?
Mountaintop removal not only is a health care crisis, but it creates irreversible damage. It destroys our mountains. We've actually destroyed 1.5 million acres of hardwood forest in the carbon sink of America. We have created communities that are completely besieged. It has led to the largest forest removal of American citizens since the mid-19th century. Today, Amy, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, when you flick on your light switch and your computers and your radio and your TV, for thousands of Americans in the coal fields, they'll be living with fly rock, dangerous silica dust and toxic coal dust. Their water has been contaminated by coal slurry. We really have created these natural sacrifice zones that should no longer exist in the Obama America.
From the communities in Appalachia who have been suffering for too long the consequences of mountaintop removal, and it's poisoning all of our water that flows through the watershed that extends even here to D.C.
We'll be right back. Virginia, and I'm here today because it seems like there's been a little bit of movement on this issue, and so there's some hope that this sort of action might actually change things. I've come to the point where it doesn't seem like that's true of most things. And I'm here today because I think our grandchildren will hold us accountable for what we're doing to this earth. H-E-double hockey sticks, I got styles you can't copy.
It's the 666 in the mix, straight from H-E-double. All of us hard-hitting journalists are asking the really tough questions.
Do you like bondage clubs?
Contaminated by coal slurry, we really have created these natural sacrifice zones that should no longer exist in the Obama America.
We never were able to get there, actually. So there's sort of an informal way that through exclusion and through harassment, unpopular opinions don't make it except maybe on the pixelated fiefdoms of the internet.
And how is that? I mean, I want to talk a bit about intimidation from law enforcement agencies that we actually did see back in the 1960s and 70s, most obviously with the COINTELPRO initiative launched by the FBI to victimize organizations that were mobilized, that were effective in bringing about these social ideas, social justice in many ways. Now we have different organizations, but as you say, they've been marginalized. They rarely make the media. Has the U.S. government seen what happened in the 60s and 70s as a way to contain opinion here in the United States?
Thank you. MCK. I use a microphone like Picasso used to play. Down with breaks from around the way. He's the man by the end, Jazzy J. I'm back on the mic from here to Bombay. I'm keeping my best and say, come with me. Considering what he's got, get to do today. I'm looking sideways, I'm a man.
There's an organic process that's happening is from the 1960s that the powers of corporatism have essentially owned the government. The whole idea of attacking the government is a canard because, and that serves the interest. You can have like, you know, libertarian fantasy is the power now is directed at a government, and that's true to some extent. But government is there now actually to serve corporate power. So it's, there's these tacit agreements are made. For example, I don't probably have to tell anybody on Russian television, but in the old style Soviet Union, you know, the idea of apparatchiks searching Pravda and Izvestia, looking for unpopular opinions, and then maybe people in a dramatic way being taken off the gulags, doesn't need to happen here because people internalize over the years what they're supposed to say. Economic consequences for straying too far from the status quo. Writers are marginalized, you hold unpopular opinions. You can say them on the internet as long as only a small group of people are reading them, but most people have internalized what it is people one needs to say to be able to accommodate power. These are sort of the unconscious accommodations we all make as we negotiate the landscape of our life. So it's actually much more subtle. It's, you know, it's not like in Huxley, but it's closer than Orwell, for example, where, you know, actually fetuses were imprinted with where they stayed in the social order. From the time we grow up, we get the propaganda, for example, of television commercials in this culture, and we learn where we exist in the place of things and not to cause too much trouble. So by a series of bribes and tacit threats, we really don't too often attack the status quo or even threaten it. And when we do, as you mentioned, what happened in the 60s, that history is rarely told, how its leaders were jailed, assassinated, like in the case of Fred Hampton. We'll be right back.
and say whoa.
To go from hippies to yuppies, and no, and you know that aspect of it happened in an almost untold aspect
so
of history.
I want to jump in there. I want to jump in there and ask you about something else that's happening in this country. Do you believe the American public will ever get back to the status it was back then? I mean, all throughout Latin America and parts of the Middle East and Southeast Asia, you have people in Europe, of course. You have people literally rising up against these elements you're talking about. But you have a sense of apathy to a certain degree here in the States. What will move the American people to get off their couch, as you write, and you know, protest against what they believe to be against in this country?
Well, I'm a bit of a fatalist about this. That I think that systems have a certain trajectory, and where we are now with the combination of corporatism, neoliberal economics, the hologram we're in as far as information, that, you know, that's why when people ask me what political party I'm from, I say I'm either a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a member of the Entropy Party. It's the only party that really has an honest platform.
In the carbon sink of America. We have created communities that are completely besieged. It has led to the largest forced removal of American citizens since the mid-19th century. Today, Amy, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, when you flick on your light switch and your computers and your radio and your TV, for thousands of Americans in the coal fields, they'll be living with fly rock, dangerous silica dust, and toxic coal dust. Their water has been contaminated by coal slurry. We really have created these natural sacrifice zones that should no longer exist.
Thank you.
The rally was part of Appalachia Rising, a multi-day event organized by residents of Appalachian communities impacted by mountaintop removal. The protesters were detained after refusing to leave the sidewalk outside the White House fence. The NASA climatologist James Hansen was among those arrested. In another major action, a group calling itself Black Cross Alliance erected black crosses at coal mining sites in southern Illinois.
And utterly failed to preserve our climate and the environment for life. Third, our government allows and contributes to a great hoax perpetrated on the public by moneyed interests aimed at confusing the public about the reality of climate change.
My name is Xavier Rogner. I'm from Maryland, actually, and I'm here because mountaintop removal is poisoning the waterways and polluting the airways for people in Appalachia, and I want to...
glades and woodlands of old Europe, they literally believed that there were wood nymphs in pan. We really actually believe these consumer products, and the world we live in is actually real rather than an illusion of the mind. And you know, it's like facing the church in medieval Europe. It is so inculcated into us that I don't think Americans within their field of reference of how we use our life, now I'm not talking all Americans, there are awake Americans, but I'm talking about the mean of it. I think the trajectory of empire shows that the United States will decline as empires do, slowly or dramatically. Empires usually go one of the, and the beacons of intelligence are in the other places you mentioned around the rest of the world. I mean, I think this empire is pretty much done. You can stick a fork in it.
some cutter, me brothers.
Oh, we don't want to live in a stinking water like this.
Oh? And what's so stinking about it?
It's a stinking water because there's no law and order anymore.
The accidental killing of a person, sir.
He's enterprising, aggressive, outgoing, young, bold, vicious. He'll do.
I'm sorry, Alex. This is for your own good.
Is actually real rather than an illusion of the mind. And you know, it's like facing the church in medieval Europe. It is so inculcated into us that I don't think Americans within their field of reference of how we use our life, now I'm not talking all Americans, there are awake Americans. But I'm talking about the mean of it. I think the trajectory of empire shows that the United States will decline as empires do, slowly or dramatically. They... Empires usually go one of the, and the beacons of intelligence are in the other places you mentioned around the rest of the world. I mean, I think this empire is pretty much done. You can stick a fork in it.
Sticking a fork in it here, Furious George style. Hopefully you are having tuned in for the last hour and picked up some of the stuff we've been spotlighting, including the Appalachian Rising anti-mountaintop removal movements and the problems with free speech in the United States and more. Gotta say thanks to Low End Theory for supplying so many good little clips that I've learned about, more music than I can even describe here in the next 15 seconds. So if you want to learn more about it, go to furiousg.blogspot.com, and while you're at it, click over to WCOMFM.org, WCOMFM, where you'll hear all kinds of local micro-powered radio, including That's What's Coming Up Right Now, Bodaciousness, Stick Around. I'm Furious. I'll be back.
Here, ha, here, ha, here, ha, here.
it, you feel no pain. White folks that controls your brain. I know better than that. That's game, man. We ready for that. Two soldiers head of the pack. Matter of fact, who got the war? And where my army at? Rather attack and not react. Back to beats, it don't reflect on how many records get sold on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Whether your project put on hold in the real world. These just people with ideas. They just like me and you when the smoke and cameras disappear. Real world. It's bigger than all these fake records. Way Popo's got the millions and my woman's disrespected. If you check one too, my word of advice to you is just relax. Just do what you got to do. If that don't work, then kick the facts. If you need bada, rada, bada, flame ignite, crowd excited. Oh, you wanna just get high and just say it. But then if you a lie, pants on fire, wolf cry, agent with a Y, I'm go it when I play it. Bigger than hip, hop, hip, hop, hip, hop, hip. It's bigger than hip, hop, hip,
yes, Rasta, give thanks and praises to the Father, for the weed come from the Creator. They kill up without the sense of humor, grown on the grave of King Solomon, contribute to destroy Babylon. Helping me get across my opinion, burn the weed till I die with no resolution.